Hi, everybody. It's me, Christina Peck, wife of Josh Peck. If you don't know who I am the face behind of everything that Josh has been doing for a long time. For those of you who remember me back in the multiverse days, hi again. I've taken quite the hiatus being mom and busy getting things together around the house. Many of you know our journey for the past few months, which we'll touch on a little bit more during this segment. But I am here tonight with my great friend, my best friend in the world, Sandy. And
Hello.
we are going to be talking about what you guys can expect from us. So I'm going to hand this over to Sandy real quick. Sandy, tell them what we're doing.
All right. Hey, we're super excited. We are going to launch pretty soon a new show on Daily Renegade, and it's going to be through our ministry called Women Glorifying God. We've really taken a hiatus for some time with that, right? We were doing some great shows, we got some great feedback, and then life got in the way. I mean, motherhood, right? Like you said, a million kids.
Yeah, I have a million kids now. It's I just gave birth again.
You look
11
gorgeous.
weeks ago. 11 weeks ago, I gave birth again for the fourth time. I
Welcome to
joined the
the
number four kid club. Woohoo! I'm right there with you, Sandy.
All right. But at least you have girls, okay? I have all boys. I wanted a girl, and somehow I ended up with all boys. But which is okay, since I'm a tomboy. But still,
Well, yeah, I mean, me too, but yeah, I got two of each. I got equal. I got girl, boy, boy, girl.
and the girls are so cute. I just love Miss Jackie.
I know. She's a gem, isn't she? She's upstairs singing right now with Josh. Jamming out on the drum set that we have up there.
Earlier, she was so cute when we were talking, and she said, when are you just moving to Missouri?
I know.
We're
Like,
so
hey,
much
Sandy,
just.
are you gonna come with us to live with us tomorrow? Why don't you just live with us?
Right?
Well, because she has her own home and four of her own kids. That's probably part of it.
So, this is part of what we're gonna do. We're gonna
Yes.
talk and we're gonna laugh. And the biggest thing that we wanna do is with this show, it's gonna be all about. How can we have more of a serving heart? How can we be more kind in a world of just hatred and animosity? And there's just so much going on in the world where there's just this lack of joy and happiness, And I mean, you're hearing all sorts of stuff that's going on, shootings in schools. Christina, you and I were talking about that, earlier. There's, shootings in churches. I mean, look at what's going on even in the Jewish community where there's all these hate crimes. I mean, there's just, and politics and getting on to all of that. There's just so much anger. So what we want to do is we want to just bring joy and love and light and, be encouraging and motivational. And you can tell I'm pumped, right? I'm jazzed,
Yeah,
Christina.
I mean, I'm totally jazzed up about this too because, yeah, like the challenges that motherhood and being a parent come with, in how we still praise God through it all and how we get through it. And we can definitely share our experiences. We have plenty of those.
Absolutely. It's all about keeping the faith, right?
That's right. Oh, my word.
In those times of
My goodness.
darkness and, whenever you do have those times of light. So that's tough.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I mean, ultimately all glory goes to God, but we have the amazing support of people that we know personally and people that we have never met before, just from being online on Skywatch TV, and being involved with other ministries. Our family has grown, I would
Well,
say.
let's talk about that, Christina. I mean, let's back up. So I come out in January. Is this okay if we do? I mean, I'm
Yeah, go for it.
you
Yeah.
know me, I'm taking the ball. I'm like, hey, let's go, honey.
You go, girl.
Anyways, so I come out in January because Christina's basically on bed rest. I mean, she's looking gorgeous, but she's got this fourth baby in her little belly. And I came out to just hang out and help out. And, the kids seemed great, had so much fun. Oh my gosh, had such a blast. And then I had the whole conversation with Jackie and Nathan. Can't you just move here? I'm like, but I have kids back in Colorado. You can just have more.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can just have
Adorable.
more, Sandy. Well,
Right? I mean, hey. But, you know, and then I leave. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, Nathan's getting sick. And I mean, Christina, it was a really rough road. And what's interesting about you and my paths, and this is, wow, we're telling all the viewers our inside secret.
But oh, I know, right?
I know. But when you, Christina, go through a rough patch, or I do, we have always done it at the same time. And then whenever it starts getting better for one of us, we know that the other one is going to get better for them too.
Oh, I know. It's insane. Like, if we don't hear from each other for a while, we're like, okay, something's going on, because something's going on with me. And then finally right. We do reach out. We're like, okay, what's going on? Why are you on my heart? What are you going through? Because this is what I've been dealing with. You're like, oh my gosh, you have no idea. And then it's just incredible. Our lives are parallel. It's totally. Insane. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you came out to help us get our house together for baby number four, little yeah. Lily. You're helping the kids organize their room. And my brother-in-law and his girlfriend were also out staying with us. Mm-hmm. And so we had a full house here. It was great.
Awesome.
And we had a blast. And mm-hmm. yeah, I was pretty pregnant. I mean,
we still had fun though.
I was pretty pregnant. I was 7.5 months pregnant when you came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you were the one that said, hey, I want to come out and I want to help you, you know, because I was on bed rest. I had to, for all you didn't know, I was working 3 jobs. 2 of which were outside the home, because to give you some backstory there, Josh had dislocated his knee last summer, and shortly after that happened, I found out I was pregnant. So we had a surgery we had to pay for, and then, oh my gosh, we have kid number 4 on the way, not planned at all. So big surprise there. Mm-hmm. And so he started the YouTube channel up again, started doing what he could from home to bring in extra income, because what we were doing just wasn't cutting it, and we didn't have enough for 4 kids. So I got a couple more jobs. I was waiting tables. I was offered a supervisor position at a 4-company where I oversaw people, and I was always the fixer. I was somebody to fix problems. So I went in there and I was doing my job, working like 60 hours a week. So overall, I was in one job alone, I was working 60 hours a week. I was really working about 100 hours a week. And so was Josh. We never saw our kids, like only for a few hours a night. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Finally, up until right before the new year, I was able to quit, because we finally got enough saved up, got everything, all the medical bills paid off that Josh had. And we had enough set aside. I was paying a midwife, doing another home birth like I did with Adam. And things were starting to look better. And then, and plus, you know, she told me, okay, you need to go on bed rest, because my progesterone levels dropped being under so much stress that I could be in danger of like having a pre-labor and an unhealthy baby. So that's why Sandy came out. She said that she was going to come out and help. And she did. So Sandy, if you want to pick up there, there was a little backstory there, and you can go ahead and finish your thoughts.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, so then I left, right? Came out, hung out. We drank Calm at night and had our girl time.
Played with the kids every night. Love it.
Shook them like a sack of potatoes. Chased them around. You know, doing our thing. Hey, to all y'all moms out there, I know that you're doing the same thing. And if you're not, you gotta like play and have fun with your kids. Because if not, you are totally missing out. So yeah.
Oh, no, I know. I totally missed my kids when I was gone working. Yes. Nights and days and nights and midnights. I missed it so much. I'm so happy I can do it again. It's I wouldn't change it for the world. It's amazing. But yeah, we were throwing the kids, or you were throwing the kids over your shoulder, because I couldn't. I was on the floor on my hands and knees playing.
We were cooking with them. I mean, it was really a lot of fun. I was chasing them down, being a monster. I mean, it was fun. I was being a kid, okay? I was being one of them.
Oh, yeah. And then one of those nights, Justin Fall came over, remember? Because we were making the Spitzbubenteig, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a German Spitzbubenteig.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's German. It's for cut crust pastry is what it's German for. Mm-hmm. Basically, you cut these things into diamonds. It's all made from scratch. It's my grandmother's recipe. She was born in Hungary, but lived in Germany for a while, and then she moved to America. And my dad is first, well, he passed away back in 2013, but he and his brothers were first generation born here in America from Germany. So fun little.
That was so good, by the way. Yeah. We should make that sometime with the viewers. I mean, I think it would be fun for us to make it, like, you know, you do it on your end, I do it on my end, and just kind of chat it up. That's part of some of the stuff that we're doing too. So
Nathan was helping us. He was doing the design. Yes. And Justin Fall came over and he's like, I need to take this home with me. I'm like, I know.
Hey, that was good stuff. That was fun. We had a blast that night. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Got to play with them, and you helped them organize the room. They were able to give a lot of stuff away, throw a lot of stuff away that they had just hiding underneath their beds. Like, oh my gosh.
I know, right? That's what kids
are you hoarding
do,
okay? This stuff?
So moms, if you don't look underneath the beds and behind the dressers, there is food and all sorts of stuff that they stash. Trust me. You have to clean it out.
Where did these things come from? Certainly not from you and I.
Really? I know you were like, but we had it all clean. I got four boys. I totally trust me. They hide everything everywhere. They say they clean the room, but then you go look underneath the bed or in a closet or in a drawer, and it's all stuff. I've even found, okay, so this is so gross. Okay, but I even found, like, you know how you buy, like, the cookies that you just, like, throw in the oven so it's all, like, pre-made, the dough? Oh, yeah. Man, my oldest, he, like, went and snuck it, I guess, out of the fridge one night. I don't know how he did it, but he did, because I'm usually, like, around where I'm paying attention. And I guess in his room behind his bed. I'm like, are you kidding me? You could see the wrapper. That boy, I don't even know how. I bet he ate the whole package. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Anyways, kids. Okay. So we digress. But but we got the room clean, right? We got it all clean, and we had so much fun. And then, and then I got to be Mary Poppins on Sunday. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. And they kept on asking to go to the park. I was like, you know, it is 32 degrees outside. Okay, I know it's Missouri, and we have very mild winters here in Southwest Missouri. But no, it is 32 degrees outside and raining. Absolutely not going to the park.
But I'll take you to Walmart and get you toys because, you know, you guys help me clean, right? And so I'm driving through the hills in Missouri because it's so pretty. And all of a sudden I start singing, let's go fly a kite. Yeah. And your kids are like, what is that? And then I think I said, oh, we're going on an adventure. And Nathan was like, Jacqueline, we're going on an adventure.
It was a grand adventure. And, you know, that's what they call it every time I take them out now, because I get to work from home. I get to do this with Josh. And we've made it a legit business, you know. This whole Daily Renegade is, for those of you catching this live who don't know about Daily Renegade, Josh and I have started a platform, a podcast platform, that some of it is going to be behind a paywall, unfortunately, because, well, I want to stay home and I want to be a mom and I want to homeschool my kids. So I'm sorry. I want to be mom. I want to homeschool. I want to be there for my kids. And this is how Josh and I are doing it. We made this a business. No, we're not selling the word of God. You get that for free. And we are just, for $10 a month or $100 a year, you get this show. You get Josh's Peck Report. You get my brother-in-law's Get Real with Cody Peck. You get Gary Wayne's Christian Contrarian. And then we also have Through the Black and many, many more coming. So that's what your subscription is going for, you know, all these shows. And that's just for those of you who don't know what's going on. So some of this is going to be behind a paywall. But if you're lucky, you're catching it for free tonight. And Sandy and I are so excited for you to join us and for you to be able to see this. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. But with you coming out and taking my kids on an adventure, and now when I'm able to take them out, and they're like, yes, we're going on an adventure. And I was like, yes. No, it's amazing. I'm able to do this. Because ever since I was 15, I've worked every single day of my life, and now I can just kind of relax for the time being.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's
right.
So nice. It's so nice. And that was in January when you came out, and 2 weeks after you left, my son Nathan. You know, that boy was, it seemed like every other week he was coming down with something. And then, you know, we moved from Michigan to Missouri. And so it's a warmer climate. We all had to, you know, become accustomed to this new warmer climate and different strains of things. So we fought allergies for the first couple of years. And then when we moved into our house, it seemed to get better because there might have been an issue with mold in our rental home before we bought our house. And, you know, and I burned or I diffused, not burned, diffused thieves oil. I used the colloidal silver and things like that, which silver never really worked for us. It just turned my lips blue. I'm like, oh, which I probably have too much silver in my system now. I probably should stop. But I use it to clean with, though. I totally use it to clean with, and it's amazing.
Really? So I use it. And my lips and all that aren't blue, but that's weird. I made that like super dramatic, right? My lips aren't blue.
I know. No, my lips are in blue, and I'm like, and I still have the symptoms and everything. I'm like, well, you know what? I just don't think silver is for me, but Sambucol is, elderberries, you know, that works just fine. I'll make it my own, or I'll buy it, you know, whatever. That seems to do it for me. Everybody has their thing. Right. Silver just never worked. You know, I used it on the kids. It never did anything for them either. I'm like, I guess we're just broken. All right. Silver just doesn't work for us. We're just broken.
I love you and your like your just dry sense of humor. It's awesome.
I know. I have a very dry sense of humor.
You are like earlier when you said that about Jackie. Earlier when you said that about Jackie and the adventure and they're like going on adventure, you're like, yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
You had noticed though, you had a sense with Nathan, you know, I know we haven't come out and shared what it was yet, but you had a sense that there was something wrong. You want to touch on that?
I wasn't going to, but I will. I can't explain it. Like I knew something was wrong with him and I didn't know what. And I knew, I'll be honest, I knew it had to do with his head. Mm-hmm. But of course I wasn't going to say anything to you because I thought, why in the world would I say anything? Oh, by the way, I think your child is sick and I think something is wrong with his head. I mean, what in the world would I ever say anything like that? Nobody would do that. Right. Especially no one. Right. That's a mother. but maybe I should have, I mean, I don't know, you know, but hindsight, it was interesting then, or not interesting. It was a God thing because there was something severely wrong with him and there was something severely wrong with his head.
It was. And 2 weeks, you know, my kids, I, being a mom and being somebody who was previously in the medical field and studied medicine for years, I'm always looking at my kids, looking them up and down in the summer. I'm always looking for ticks, tick bites, you know, spider bites, anything. We have widows and recluses down here. So I'm always looking for something that resembles a spider bite or a tick bite or pulling ticks out of my kids, you know. I'm always looking for that sort of thing. So I was lifting his arms. He was in the shower. I'm cleaning him off. He was 4 years old or five. He had just turned five. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking him up and down, just making sure he's safe and, you know, he's okay. And he was fine. Yeah. I drop him off for class time the next day because I had him. I was doing some of the work that I was doing from home. I couldn't watch my kids and do the work at the same time. So I just kind of set him over for class time with mm-hmm. our daycare provider. And so he has like a homeschool setting over there. And I come back and I pick him up 6 hours later. His neck, his lymph nodes on his neck were the size of golf balls. Mm. And I said, okay, open up your mouth. He opened his mouth. His tonsils were not swollen. And I follow underneath his arms to his armpits and I felt something and I said, oh no, lift up your arms.
Mm.
And they were in his lymph nodes underneath his arms were the size of golf balls. And I said, oh my gosh. Mm. I looked at my daycare lady and she said, this was not here today. This has just recently popped up. And I was like, what happened to my child?
Yeah.
And so I take him to urgent care and they send me to the hospital. And by this time it's 7 at night. My kid has not eaten dinner. Mm-hmm. And they told me, and then it was 2 hours later, they finally had a triage nurse look at him
mm-hmm.
just to get his vitals. And there are maybe 10 people in the waiting room at this particular hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, I went up there and I said, listen, my kid hasn't eaten. And I'm by this time almost 8 months pregnant. And he just needs a CBC done. He just needs a CBC, which is a complete blood count. You know, the urgent care people said that maybe they could do it, but it would take 48 hours for the blood results to come back. And they said, take him to the hospital so they can get him in right away and just do it. They didn't do it. They said it would be 3 a.m. before anybody would look at him. I'm like, just get me a phlebotomist or get me the needle. I still remember how to do a CBC. It's not that hard.
Don't mess with a pregnant woman. A woman that's 8 months pregnant, you just do whatever she says. I mean, that's just how it is. Anyways.
I know. And so I just took him home. The roads were getting icy that night. Went mm-hmm. back home. And I said, I'll just take him to someplace else tomorrow. So I took mm-hmm. him back. That was a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him to a hospital that was a little closer. They did a blood test. They did a CBC. And everything mirrored, get this, cat scratch fever. Mm-hmm. We had indoor cats, you know, but I know it can still happen.
Right, right.
And so I was like, okay, so his blood, his white blood cell count, your normal white blood cell count for a child is between 4,999 and about 11,000. Mm-hmm. Anything above that, really anything above 10 is a slight infection between 10 and 11. And then 12 is your normal like infection. Mm-hmm. So everything for his white blood cell count and everything was normal and mirroring cat scratch fever. He has lack of appetite. He was kind of wheezing a little, his swollen lymph nodes, yeah. Everything. And they said, okay, it would probably only it would take about a month for these to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And about a week later, I noticed them getting bigger. And I was mm-hmm. like, and then he's still not eating. He's telling mm-hmm. me he's sweating buckets at night. Those are his words. My 5-year-old, Mom, I'm sweating buckets. I don't want to go and play with my friends. I don't want to leave. I just want to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to get a second opinion. So I was trying to find a specialist, you know, somebody who deals with this. And nobody could help me. And his pediatrician is always backed up months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just took a shot and I'm like, okay, this is an emergency, guys. My son told him the whole story. I'm like, these lymph nodes are getting bigger. He's complaining about a lot more now. She has a brain to do 2 separate tests. They get me in immediately. So this is the following Friday. And she does a white blood cell test and then she does the cat scratch fever. So I have to play the waiting game because they have to send the blood out of house to a lab. And everything red. And so on Monday afternoon, I'm sitting at the library with my daughter. She's making cards for the people at a retirement home at the top of our hill over here. She's making cards for them because that's what they had this project for. And it was so sweet. And she told me, I got the phone call from the pediatrician, and she said, I just want to let you know, came back like his white blood cell count is abnormal. I still don't have the results for the cat scratch fever, but his white blood cell count is abnormal. I just want to let you know, and I'll call you back when I get the rest of those results. Over that weekend, he started having new symptoms. He said his back hurt. He was saying he was turning gray. My boy, my 5-year-old, you know how energetic Nathan is, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No, this kid was just like laying around, not wanting to do something, wheezing uncontrollably.
He's always bouncing off the walls. I mean, similar to my boys. I'm used to it. You're like, Sandy, is this how boys are? Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Pretty normal. These are boys.
Right. And so
I'm just kind of sitting there Googling my worst nightmare. And I already knew what it was. I just didn't want to admit it. And then later that night, about 6 o'clock in the evening, she called me and said, cat scratch came back negative. You're going to be receiving a phone call from oncology. Get him in immediately. She's like, I'm not saying it's cancer, but just to be certain. Like, okay. So I got him in at 8 o'clock the next morning. And the doctor had asked me if I knew what his white blood cell count was. I said, no, what I heard from the pediatrician was they were slightly abnormal. He said, well, what we received was a little different. It was over 100,000. I know. Okay, then. And then I'm just, you know, walking in there. I was holding my son's hand and I was like, this is it. This is when I'm going to find out my son has cancer.
Yeah. So you knew.
I knew. On the way. I cannot. It was scary, you know. I was on the phone with my mom. I said, Mom, it's either non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It could be leukemia or it's thyroid cancer. Because this one side on his side right here was still swollen. I'm like, it could be thyroid. But, you know, stranger things have happened. You know, so, I mean, yeah, he's 5, but whatever, you know. Who knows this day and age?
Right, right.
But sure enough, I was telling the doctor, I was like, it's probably cancer, you know. He's like, well, it could be a really bad infection. I'm like, a really bad infection would be 100,000 plus. His body is working overtime. And then, you know, they took him up for a CT scan and his whole body lit up like a Christmas tree. His lymph nodes were just lighting up everywhere. And then he came back and he's like, unfortunately, it's not good news. It is leukemia. We just don't know what type it was. When they had to poke him, Cindy, they had to poke him 6 times because the IV was not sticking in. His blood looked like purple tar. So it was already starting to separate. And he had that rash starting right back here. And I was like,
and his brain was covered, right?
His brain. When we got him, we ended up taking him to St. Jude because no question. They're like, oh, you can take him to, you know, Children's Mercy Hospital in either Kansas City or St. Louis, or you can go to St. Jude. I'm like, duh, I'm going to St. Jude. My family has donated them for years. They did a test and it came back a ALL T cell, which is the second most common type of leukemia. He's not the average T cell patient though. He's actually pretty different, and I'll get to that in a minute. But they did a test of his spinal fluid, and it is all over in his brain. Cancer was everywhere. It was spreading like wildfire. I mean, you know, leukemia starts in the bone, and five for a 5 year old to have T cell is, they're not supposed to have T cell.
Right.
They don't have those memory cells yet.
Mm-hmm. And it was,
And so it was all over his brain. That's why he could not, my son wasn't able to really, when we ask him, you know, why don't we do these things? Like if he does something wrong, and he could tell us the answer, you know, he's like, well, because A, B, and C, you know, and well, why did you do it? I just don't know.
Yeah.
My dad had a lot of cancers, and he would know when he did something. He's like, man, I don't know why I did that. I know I'm not supposed to do that because A, B, and C, but there's something not right.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's been so much more difficult and challenging with Nathan. Mm-hmm. He had cancer in his brain and all over his body.
Which goes in line with what you and I shared earlier.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, about me knowing that there was something wrong. I couldn't tell you what, but...
Right. I mean, something was always, there was, as a mom, last summer I wanted a panel done because the kid was always sick. If I didn't want to be that mom that was always, you know, like the overreacting mom.
But, right.
Oh, yeah, right. You studied medicine 10 years ago, but it's totally different now. So right. Stop overreacting.
Right.
Okay, hey, there's something right. Very wrong with my child.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, but yeah, and it turns out, and he was not responding to anything. By the time we got there, they airlifted him. They airlifted mm-hmm. him because his white blood cell count was like right rising very, very high. By the time he left, it was over 200,000. It went from 120,000 on that day, on February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And then it... shot up to almost 400,000 in a few hours. It was not working. Nothing was working. And his doctor is a very well-known doctor actually around the world who is always looking, like over at St. Jude, they're always researching like safer alternatives, safer ways to treat children with cancer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to radiate this child's brain. We're not doing that. It's like, thank God, because I don't want to radiate my child's brain. Thank you.
Right.
Like, please do not radiate his brain.
Oh my gosh, how scary, Christina. I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
Because I want us to keep going, like, and I want to finish hearing the story, but to go back and think about in those moments, like how you were feeling, like, you and I talked on the phone and it was just tearful. And it was scary. And I mean, I know that you also had pressure because all of a sudden, you know, you guys have, let's just talk about it. You have a large fan base. So your fans were giving you all sorts of advice and then also guilt. I mean, like, I know when you and I talk, you were going, well, what did I do wrong? I fed him all the right anti-cancer types of food. I've tried to do all this stuff on my house. I mean, and you're not alone in that, you know, as it relates to feeling that guilt, you know, as moms take that on. But during those times, I mean, your faith, like during that time for you and Josh, I mean, your faith is like, it's really under fire at that point. You know, I mean, it's, I can't even imagine.
No. I did. I said, you know, we've always done the anti-cancer foods. We've always done living in Missouri. We have farmers markets. We've had, you know, fresh food straight from the farm, pretty much.
Yeah.
That it's not like commercialized and GMO, right. And it's like all organic, all awesome stuff. Supplements, giving them everything. And my son still has cancer. Well, you know, he was born with it. That's what we found out. His doctor was smart enough to get his blood over to genetics and say, find out why this child is not getting better.
Yeah.
It's written in his DNA. It was written in his DNA, something they have discovered only in the past few years, a very rare type of ALL T cell. Mm-hmm. And they didn't say this for sure, but it's only my personal belief. Mm-hmm. My dad, during Vietnam, was exposed to Agent Orange. And all five of us, I'm the youngest of five, have been born with something different. I have a compromised immune system. And I have Epstein-Barr due to it, because of it. I got it at a very young age. I caught mono. I caught strep, which turned into mono. And now I have Epstein-Barr because of my compromised immune system. My sister had sores. One of my brothers had strange growths on his spine. My other brother had a very strange bladder cancer at 8 years of age that miraculously disappeared. And then my other brother was born, adult teeth. He still has he still has baby teeth in the back, and there's no adult teeth that ever were formed. So we all had something different. And I believe that's passed down. They're doing more studies, finding that Agent Orange in the future generations are the cause of it. It's linked to a lot of cancers in the further generations, you know? And so I was like, it's probably from me, you know? It's, now the good news is,
I mean, you really don't. And I,
no, you know, the good news is they say it's only a 5% chance that any of the other kids have it.
Well, I don't think about this. I mean,
they're all healthy.
You guys are a testimony at this point. I mean, God puts us through these trials oftentimes, and they're not, I see them as learning opportunities. I mean, you can look at them as a trial, right? I mean, I just feel like it's not something that you should blame yourself for or anything else. But I think in those moments, God is stretching us. And that's what he did with you and Josh. I mean, look at the outcome to this. And Nathan, I mean, he's going to be a testimony someday. And he, I mean, I swear he's a little preacher. I'm going to call him a preacher boy. I'm just saying. I mean, he's so cute. Like when I was there that weekend hanging out, I mean, he did something where he needed to go to timeout. And he was like, Mama, next time I do that, you just put me in timeout. I know I deserve it. I mean, what child says that? I was like, oh. My heart, Nathan, you know, I mean, this child is special. So I feel like what God put you guys through, I mean, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, no, there is. You know, he was the first one to go up to other kids at St. Jude while we were in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hate to say what God put you through, but the trial and the opportunity that you had.
I totally understand what you mean. You know, Nathan was the first once go up to other kids at St. Jude and say, hi, my name is Nathan Peck and I have ALL. What do you have? You know, and he's like talking about things like that. And like, and he's sharing his experiences so far. And some of the parents who had just got there, you know, Nathan had a PICC line for a while, like in his arm, that helped draw the bloods for the labs and things like that. And so there was a mom who said, could I show my boy what he's going to be getting? He's going to be getting a PICC line. He's really, really scared. And I went up to him and said, oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, I don't really like it. I'd rather have a port, but I have a PICC line right now. It doesn't even hurt when they get my blood.
I mean, can you imagine, like, he helped another child with that fear. I mean, that's a beautiful gift, you know? I mean,
Wow. And like all the nurses fell in love with him. They're like, oh, he's so, and every time they had to do a blood test or something, I know one time, a nurse had accidentally dropped a heparin. Like after you clean and you do the saline and you draw the blood, then you got to clean, then you got to saline, you got to flush the line again, make sure it's all clean, that there's nothing in there. And then you got to put the heparin in to prevent the clotting, so nothing clots. And so.
Okay. Wow. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm more artistic. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Can you do that again?
You gotta flush the line to make sure it's clean. Then you gotta do a discard, which means you gotta pull some blood back, and that's your discard because it's contaminated with saline. Okay. Well, anyway, enough medical talk. But anyway, what had happened is he knew because this nurse had accidentally dropped a heparin on the wheelchair that he was sitting in, and they picked it up and they were going to use it. He's like, you gotta throw that away. That can get me sick. You know what? You're right. I got to throw that away. I got to get a new one.
Oh my gosh, that boy is so special.
These kids, they just know it. They just know everything.
That's right.
I can't believe it. But
you know, it was so...
he's something else though. I mean, and he is in remission. It took a little bit longer than the average ALL T cell. It took 50 days. It took 50 days to get him into remission, but he is in remission.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I mean, look at that miracle. I mean, that could have had a completely different outcome, right? I mean, completely glorifying God in that moment.
Absolutely. Oh, you better believe it. I was praising him. Well, I was praising him through everything. Believe me, it was so hard because my five-year-old boy, before we got to St. Jude, my friend Donna drove me and my other two kids at the time. I was pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant. I was 35 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, I was so worried that you were honestly going to go into labor. You and I were talking when you were on that drive, and I was just thinking the stress that you are under.
It was, wow. it was very stressful, and I was on the phone with Josh. I called him because we were driving, and that's when he told me they're going to actually airlift Nathan because his blood counts are rising and it's not looking good. So I was on the phone. He was on speaker, and he said, "Hey, Mama, I had a dream about Jesus." I said, "You did, baby. That's beautiful." He's like, "You know, Jesus was here with me." He's like, "Am I going to heaven?" And I was like, "Oh Lord, no, please don't take my baby boy." And I said, "Baby, Jesus is with you right now. He's going to comfort you. Everything's going to be okay." And then I told Josh, I'm like, "Josh, I can't right now." And Josh is like, "You know, he's five. He's going to say things like that." I'm like, "I know, but right now I can't. And it took everything. It was the next day in the hospital. We got there about 1 a.m. We actually pulled up right behind the ambulance my husband and Nathan were in. We got there at the same time. It was the next day I went up there, and he was asking questions about heaven. And it took a lot in me. I'm like, "Don't cry in front of him. It's all right. He's strong. It's going to be okay. But answer his questions." So I'm answering his questions the best I can, and just I'm like praying in my soul. I'm like, "Lord, I know it's not my will. It's your will that will be done, Father. But just give me strength. Just give me the words to say." I don't wish that on anybody, especially your child. I mean, it was so emotional. Like, I'm looking at my five-year-old boy. I'm like, "I am thankful for the 5 years that you've given me." But, you know, and going back, I mean, the whole time the pregnancy with Nathan was different. They told me that he was going to be born odd and deformed, and that I should have just had an abortion. And then they said that, "Oh, I would probably die giving birth to him." And I'm like, "I don't care. I'm giving birth to my baby. He was born 7 pounds, 10 ounces, almost 22 inches long. He was amazing." So, I mean, I was holding
another miracle,
a miracle baby. And he was born with cancer. I didn't know, but we got it under control now. He's and I really, Josh and I, the prayers from everybody, it really has helped us. Our faith, our faith is definitely stronger. But you know, and you during that time, you helped me. I remember I was preparing to give birth to Lily.
I'm like, I'm in tears right now. I'm still like envisioning this sweet little boy seeing Jesus. And I'm a crier. Okay, y'all. I am a crier. All right, let's just say that. My heart was just, I was aching for you guys. It was hard. And then I was going through my own struggle.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. And I, I don't want to go into too much detail with mine, but I just, with my struggle, it was really intense as well, I guess. And during that time, I really had to learn to have faith in God. And I cannot tell you how many motivational podcasts I would listen to. And I would be like, on my hands and knees, God, please just remove these giants from my way. It's like, God, please just do this. And it changed my prayer life, because I learned that instead of just praying and asking God to do this, I was saying, I prayed for the other individuals that I was struggling with and having the struggle with. And I began just praying and praising him and just being in his presence and being so thankful and just giving everything to him and just saying, God, you have my life in the palm of your hand. You know, you're the potter, I'm the clay. I get it. Form me, mold me, do whatever you want with me. When I did that, that's when everything changed. And it was interesting, because you and I had, and we were actually were talking, and it was after Nathan went into remission.
Yes.
And I will tell you, it gave me like hope, because I was like still in this big struggle. And when I heard that, I was like, well, wait, maybe my struggle is getting closer to being over. Yes. I was hoping. I was like, God, please. And like, I think it, I can't remember. I want to say you and I talked on a Monday or Tuesday, and then by Friday, my struggle was over and a whole new world opened up. And it was something beyond what I had ever imagined would even happen. And he did something so much more glorifying than me as this mere human being, you know, that's just full of flesh and right. And just my own stupid, I hate to say stupid thoughts, but stupid thoughts, right? Thinking that I know better than the master of the universe, the creator, my author, right? My author, my creator, my savior. And in those moments, I mean, I got to learn that, hey, he knows what's best for me.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and that's what I needed to be praying about the whole time. Well, hello, Kitty.
Oh, my word. Kat, this is Jasmine, everybody. She thinks that she belongs here. Jasmine, hi. And this is what she does to me. She gets on my shoulder. She adopted me as her person, I think. I'm not sure. She's mama.
She loves you.
She would lay on my stomach. Well, she and Jasper, we have two cats. Her brother's down here somewhere. Yeah, they would lay on my stomach when I was pregnant with Lily and just purr and ow. And stuff. But yeah, I remember in the Sherrington, when, because we were a family of five, and now we're a family of six, and we weren't able to stay in the St. Jude's housing. We got a hotel room and stayed there for about a month. And then we went to, then we couldn't stay there any longer because I only rented it for, get down, Kat. Sorry, I only booked the hotel.
No way. That's what I love about this. I mean, it's real. Yeah. It's raw and it's real.
It is. It is. This is life. This is my life. This is Eddie's life now. You have this cat in your life now.
With your million kids.
And geez, she's giving me hugs, I guess. I don't know. She's on my leg. All right.
So you just have to tell her you're overcooking my grits, man. You're frying them to a crisp.
Jeez.
I don't think that would work. But you could try it.
Oh, my gosh. I know. But I remember it was right before I gave birth to Lily. And there her brother is knocking stuff off my windows. I'm sorry, guys. They're breaking my brain. I remember I was just like birth to Lily, and I was in a breaking the emotional thing. I'm so emotional right now. So
much. I still have lost brain cells from Lily. She took
She did. All of my brain cells are focused on Lily right now. Silly girl. Okay, Lily was born in a hotel room, everybody. She was born in a hotel room. That girl was not waiting for anything. My water broke, and 15 minutes later, literally 15 minutes later, she was born. That's called record time.
She's saying, hello, world.
She's like, yeah, what's up? I'm here. Let's get this party started. And I'm like, girl, you have no idea what you get yourself into. Since the day she was born, she's been in the, like, she's been going to hospital and appointments with her brother. So... it is what it is. But I remember just before she was born, we had a conversation because you and I were both going through something during that time too. Yeah. I was a mess, and because even though Nathan was responding, it was still up in the air. He's got cancer in his brain. He's got cancer everywhere. You know, we still weren't sure if we were coming home with our boy. But you know, God was good through all of it for you and I, and you shared, you know, what you were going through. You had plans that you had to change because of what God was bringing, you know, leading you through.
For sure.
And, it's just been amazing, but this is what this is all about, guys. This is the show, Women Glorifying God. Is all about how Sandy and I are giving all the glory to God through all the trying times, where we get to share the fun times, the sad times, the terrifying times of being a mom, of being a parent. And we get to share everything with you guys, health, spiritually and natural. You know, we're not putting ourselves in a corner. We're not putting ourselves in a box here. We get to talk about anything and everything.
Right, cooking. We're going to cook.
Yep, we're going to cook, guys. We're going to bring out our recipes and we're going to cook.
That's right. Christina and I both love to cook. And so, we both have different, recipes, from fattening recipes that we don't necessarily always like her. Blah. I'm sorry. I can't do your German thing.
It's Bubenteig.
Now I do a lot of gluten-free. I mean, I eat a lot of fish and do a lot of veggies and, you know, just things like that. And so we'll cook together. I think it'd be fun. And then just share, you know, healthy foods and, you know, just different recipes. And anyways. And then also we want to go through scripture.
Yep, we're going to go through scripture. And we also, another thing that we definitely want to do is hear from you guys, you know, write us. We'll give our emails out. You can reach out to us on Facebook. And we'll give our Facebook handles to you guys too. So you guys can, you know, message us or friend request us, just and comment. You can, if you want to become a member at Daily Renegade, you can go to those brain cells I don't have. You can go to dailyrenegade.com. And you can become a member there, and you can always leave comments. You can write there, write us there too. And we want to do shows on what you guys want to hear, what you guys want us to talk about. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And, you know, we talked about parenting earlier, but also, you know, Christina, you know that I have special needs kiddos. And so we're going to talk about that. And I mean, I know that there's a lot of parents that struggle with that and being alone, and that's something that we definitely want to talk about. And not just one show where we're just going to dedicate it all to that. I mean, we're going to talk about what we go through on a daily basis, and we want to hear from you guys to hear about what's, you know, what's going on in your world and, you know, just different things that you struggle with, and maybe we can offer each other advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. Oh, we actually have a question over here. I just popped up over to the chat. Yeah. Have you ever tried the ketogenic diet? Yeah. You know, my husband's actually on that. And Cindy, are you on keto?
Yeah. I pretty much eat that way. Yeah. But I eat more restrictive too. But yeah, absolutely. And I feel amazing. And I mean, probably better than I have in years. I mean, I go trail running, and, you know, I work out a lot. I do a lot of strenuous hikes, and I feel great.
Yeah. So. That is awesome. And we kind of, since Josh eats that way, we all kind of eat that way here. And we're definitely pumping Nathan full of lots of protein and continuing on with, you know, what I fed him before I found out he had cancer. You know, I'm just, right. Double it up, baby. Get those greens in you. He has more energy. I mean, he still has those days where he's just blah, you know, but he has more energy now. He's back to being pretty much a normal 5-year-old kid who is coming out of the whatever it is you do when you have cancer. You know, I mean, he's got a fog. You know, he still kind of has a fog up there, but, you know, he's doing so much better. I see him able to work things through a lot better now than before. And I love it. So yes, it is a great way to prevent any kind of cancer. Yeah, it is. It's awesome. I mean, we all eat that way and it's awesome. And like I said, we give it to our 5-year-old. We feed him extra protein and all the extra good stuff for him because he actually did have cancer.
Right. But, and you get rid of the sugar, right? I mean, like mine struggle, you know, I've got one that's autistic. I have, my other kiddos struggle with ADHD, and it's getting rid of the sugar and all the other stuff that you give kids. And I mean, just the processed foods. And so I've been seeing a naturopath and I've learned so much. And a lot of it, I kind of already knew, but listening to it, more from a medical perspective, Christina, versus my perspective. But no, I mean, in all honesty, that's the stuff that we want to talk about, and just different things that we've learned. And going back to scripture, though, at the end of each show, or I know we want to take questions and comments, though, so we'll have to figure this out. But we definitely want to just share like a snippet of a scripture, like, you know, maybe a one verse, or, you know, if somebody out there, if you have a suggestion on a verse that was speaking to you on that day, just let us know. And we'll, you know, we'll bring it up and then we can just talk about what it means to each of us. And again, like what Christina said, we want to hear from y'all. So please chat with us. That's why we're doing this live. We'll do all of our hangouts live. They're going to be unedited, which is scary, but but we're doing it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, if we get a specific, I think would be a good idea. I don't know about you, how you feel about this, but if we get somebody or a few emails or messages, comments, whatever, about a specific thing that somebody wants to hear about, we can do a pre-recorded show and then put it up later, but mainly do these live things throughout whatever. We're still finding a time slot. Today right now works. but like I said, we have more people coming up on this platform who are going to be doing their own shows and things like that. And we got Seth McFay with Apollineering and, well, and Jason and Lauren Z with Z Files. It's all fun.
And maybe we want to hear from, our viewers to see what time would work. I mean, do we want to schedule a certain time at night? I mean, you know, in a certain evening, week, because is that better? Or have chats, or maybe early in the morning before we all go to work or something like that. I mean, I don't know. We can work that out.
This all gets put up on Blog Talk too. I sent it over to my brother-in-law. I used to be the one to do it. My brother-in-law does it now.
Blog Talk?
It's his problem
over
now.
My head.
What you do is you take the file from YouTube, you download it, and you got to put it through a converter. And then you can upload it on Blog Talk.
Nice.
And it turns it into an MP3 file.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I did for all of Josh's shows and things like we did in the past and whatever. And
so, yeah, I think our biggest thing that we really want to do on this show is it just be all about encouragement and motivation, and we want to build each other up. I mean, there's, you know, we talked about that at the very early part of our show. There's so much hatred and unkindness in the world, and we really want to push that where we're really encouraging everybody to show kindness, grace, mercy, and love. I mean, and what is true love? Love is not some fake, you know, fake thing or something that you have to do. I mean, that's it specifically right. Says in scripture, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And are we doing that? I mean, are we? Right. And so, and none of us are perfect. That's why we're covered, you know, with Jesus, right. And his grace. But it's more for us to just try to make a difference, you know, cause I, how often do you pass by somebody who has the joy of the Lord in them anymore?
No, I know. I see a lot of,
It's sad.
it is sad. I don't know. I don't know how, I'm not them. I don't know what they're going through in their life, but
Right.
I can't be that Debbie Downer.
Right.
I am excited to tell, share my testimony of, my whole life has been one big testimony. And, it's so true. The more you go after, seek after the things of God, the more the enemy wants to push back and see what he can get out of you. I mean, from the time I was a young girl, I was in a fatal car accident. I was not supposed to be walking. I was not supposed to be talking. I wasn't supposed to have children, but I have a million of them. AKA four.
And she might be having another one on the way. No, I'm just kidding.
No, oh, no, not right now. Don't put that on me right now.
And Josh
the
is in the
future,
background
I have
getting
no
hit
idea if we're going to
off.
have more. We're just kind of leaving that up to God right now. If you want me to have more kids, okay, God, all right, great. I love them all. I wasn't supposed to have them. So that was at age 14. I was supposed to ultimately lose my life. I was supposed to be a paraplegic if I lived. And I was supposed to have kids or anything like that. Well, I'm walking, I'm talking, I obviously have children, I'm fine. And then this thing with Nathan, I had an abusive ex-boyfriend that tried to murder me, literally. That was just a mess in my life too. And then Nathan, I mean, but through it all, God has just shown his mercy and his grace time and time again.
That
And it
reminds me
just,
of that
I just keep
song.
on persevering and
Right.
wanting to know more, giving him the glory because he gets us through it. Anything that's thrown at me now, I'm like, all right, God, it's yours because
Amen.
I don't want it. You just take my hands and just lead me because I'm not doing it by myself. I don't want to do it by myself. Why would I want that? That's crazy. At least
But
I
I love,
have God to help me.
right? And I love something that you said, through it all, right? I mean, there's a song, it's a worship song, through it all, my eyes are on you, through it all,
Yeah, oh, amen.
right? I mean, and that's where we're supposed to be. I mean, regardless of if we're in that happy moment or if we're in the sad one. And it's hard to keep that faith, but that's what this show is about too. I mean, we want to just encourage each other, build each other up. We've been talking about the fruits of the spirit, right, Christina? Reading our little scripture tonight. But the not the I said I believe I said fruits, but it's actually the fruit. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I often wonder, like, when we read scripture like that, do we really break it apart? Love. Let's talk about love. I mean, go to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. I mean, love is giving others enough space to be where they are and knowing that we all have issues, right? I mean, we all have struggles. And to look at someone and see that what they're struggling with and not be angry, I'm gonna be like, oh, I see that you struggle with something like that. Wow, I do too. And I'm loving you, you know what I mean? And I'm feeling for you as you go through that walk because I'm seeing that you're struggling. And so I just see that love is just, it's so much more than just, that initial love where you fall in love. I mean, it's truly patient, kindness, not self-seeking, self-sacrificing. I mean, it's something that is cherished. I mean, and I feel like so oftentimes we get caught up in more of that initial lust of the flesh and then that fake kind of love. But that true love, the one of Christ. Like, I mean, that's something that, I've been even searching for with myself is, I want to see how God sees. We specifically read about that. I believe it was with Samuel, right? Where he says that, God sees differently than we do. We see flesh. Man sees flesh, but God sees our heart.
God sees the heart, exactly.
And I feel like that's another part that we're missing in this world that we live in, is just seeing more as he does. And I've been doing a lot of ministry work, a lot since you and I were recording back into, what was it, 2017 was our last recording. I can't remember now. But when I've been doing a lot of that ministry work during that time, one thing that I have learned so much about, and even here recently, is that behind some individuals that, they may be in trouble. I mean, they may have had a really rough road. They may have an addiction. Beneath that, underneath all of that, there's always this trauma. There's always something going on. And even a child who acts out, I mean, there's something else going on behind that. And that's something I've seen as I, went through my divorce. I mean, I have seen where, kids suffer. And I think oftentimes we're only trying to look at surface level to fix something, but we're not looking at the heart and what's really going on with that individual, and really just showing them love and kindness and grace. I mean, instead, we're looking down on them with this holier than thou, kind of look. And
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's sad to see. And I see that a lot, unfortunately.
yeah.
And but a lot of these people that have the attitude, let's just say it, on social media, they're hiding behind a computer screen. Do you really think they're gonna say that to somebody's face? I mean, they're doing bad hiding behind a computer screen, and it's terrible. You see the ugliness come out, when somebody's typing behind a computer screen, because they're not face to face with that person. Most
It's
of the
sad.
time they're not going to say that stuff in to that person's face, and it's terrible. It is sad.
And it makes you wonder, like, why would they act that way? And that's where I get to, is that wanting to understand, what happened in that person's life to where they would act that way, instead of just being angry and mad at that person and saying that they're awful. I mean, that's the part that I feel like we as society, we need to have more of an ear to hear. And I mean, hey, how many times is that in scripture? Eyes to see, ear to hear. And I feel like not only obviously with scripture and, as we're walking our path, this is more what I'm saying. It's like, are we really, really, truly listening? And not just to the, and I know listening to the Holy Spirit, but also I'm talking about listening to other people. Truly listening, because oftentimes somebody just needs just to watch you not preach a sermon, but to live one. And that's like my motto for my life, Christina. That is something that has changed in me, is that, you can get up in a pulpit and you can preach a sermon, and hey, there are some amazing preachers out there, not knocking anybody. But oftentimes, people that are hurting, and they're really, really hurting. And these are the people that you're running into on the streets, right? Whether it's somebody that's homeless, whether it's somebody that's just me, you can just see it. You can just see how much they're struggling. They need to see you be kind. They need to watch you live a sermon. They need to know that instead of being this, judging Christian, because that's oftentimes what they see, that instead you show them the love of Jesus. And now that doesn't mean that we do everything that we want to do. All of that other stuff
No.
will come in line later, right? I mean, as you develop your love for Jesus, then of course you're going to want to do, everything that you read about in scripture. And are we going to fall flat on our faces? Yeah, and I sure do.
I'm not perfect, believe me. But I've fallen on my face plenty of times, like, oops, I'm sorry, God, let's work on this.
Right, exactly, you know, and I just feel like that is and I know that's something that you and I talked about, Christina, that's exactly what I wanted to be looking for in the show, is just for us to really show that. I mean, the biggest thing is love. To just, yeah. I mean, show love. I mean, God is love. It specifically says it in scripture. And you know what? If you don't know love, then you don't know God, right? I mean, it's.
And that's true. And the Bible talks about loving your brothers in Christ, and those mm-hmm. who, you know, says that they hate talking. I'm paraphrasing, but if you're going to look at another brother or sister in Christ and hate them and say that you love God, God calls mm-hmm. you a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You can't love God and hate your brother or sister. And there, yes, there's righteous judgment. Yes, there's tough love.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, you know, we are always going to be growing and learning in Christ. We should. Anyway, you never want to be comfortable where you're at in Christ. You don't want that. I'm not comfortable where I'm at. I want to learn more and be better. I want my children to be better. I want them to be better than I am, you know, and I want them to continue to want to learn the scripture. And I think that it's something that everybody needs to really think about. You know, and you don't want to be pointing fingers either, because if you're pointing fingers, well, you got three pointing back at you. So
are you looking in the mirror?
And check yourself before you point at your neighbor. Okay.
What about like private conversations? Right. I mean,
and that's
part of the holiness. I mean, even on social media, you see oftentimes where someone just spouts off some ugly comment. You know, I mean, something that says, you know, that's this for them. It's a judgment. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and instead you're supposed to go to them directly.
That is very true. Yeah. And they post it, plaster it there for all the world to see. Like, I am going on so-and-so's page and I'm pointing out all their sins. Right. And now everybody knows. And yay.
And it's sad, because then you even look at that individual who's doing it. And it's kind of like they're doing that for a reason. Is it to make themselves feel better? And, you know,
it's like me, I am so good and righteous because I'm pointing out all of these bad things that so-and-so is doing, you know. I mean, that's uncalled for, and it is an ugly thing. It is. You go to that brother or sister in Christ if you know them. And this is another thing: if you don't know that person personally, why are you doing that?
Or just private message them. Go, hey brother, hey sister, I mean, I saw on Facebook and I just wanted to show you the scripture, here you go. You know, I mean, that's more, you know, it's like, hey, you know, take it for what it's worth. I'm just, you know, just trying to, I mean, but even that individual, like, if you even go back to that individual that's posting that publicly, I mean, they're doing that for a reason for themselves, kind of like what you mentioned.
To puff themselves up. Yeah, exactly.
But there's something deeper inside. And that's the stuff that I sit back and I look at and I'm like, oh. There's something deeper inside that's going on with that individual to even make them do that. And it's just, you know, that's the stuff where it's
the heart of the issue.
Exactly. And I think that that's something that we should all just be more aware of and help each other out, you know. And it's hard to go, hey, you know, I saw this. You might want to think about another way to handle, you know what I mean? I mean, there's just ways where I think that we can all make a difference. And I feel like if we're going to make a difference in this world, there has to be the love of Jesus in us. And I mean, I'm meaning us really walking that walk and talking that talk and showing love and having a servant heart. I mean, Jesus was washing, you know, the disciples' feet, right? I mean, he was sitting there washing their feet. He had a serving heart.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many of us would, Christina, I would wash your feet.
You know what, Sandy? I'd wash your feet too.
But that's what I'm saying. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's more of what we need. So we're hoping with this show, because Christina, I think whenever I told you what I was looking for, you were like, hey, you know, about the show and grace and mercy and love, you were like, hey, that's exactly what I have in mind too, right?
I'm sorry, hold on. Okay. You cut out for a second. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. No, I was just saying that whenever I told you that, hey, this is kind of what I was thinking about in our show, you know, having, showing the grace, mercy, love, that you were going, hey, that's exactly what I had envisioned too.
Yes. 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 Oh my gosh. Yeah. We were on the phone earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were saying exactly what we were looking for in the show. And I think it's going to come out nicely. And we do want to hear from the audience. Oh, and there's Jasper. Hi. That's the other cat.
Do we have anybody from the audience that they have any questions or suggestions?
Well, let's turn it over to the audience, guys. We got some people in the chat. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and we'll take the next couple minutes and before we close out. And we'd like to hear from you guys. Let me look over here. And let's see. Somebody asked. Let me go back here. How do you manage having long fingernails? I don't know. Is Jesus and the Father one? You know, the Bible did say that I and the Father are one. I do believe they are, and they are the one. You know, this is how I kind of look at it, in my personal opinion, how I interpret it. I could be very wrong, but I'm a woman. My name is Christina. I'm also a mother. Those are three things separate, but I'm that same person. I kind of look at Jesus the same way. Or we as human beings are made up as body, soul, and spirit. You know, we have our mind, we have our flesh, and then we have our soul, our spirit that keeps this flesh running.
Yeah.
And so I feel that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Yeah, that's what I truly believe.
So let's go to scripture real fast. When you go and look at John 1:1, and I mean, that's an amazing question. Who asked that question? What's their name?
What was that? I'm so, let me go back. Da, 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 da. Robin Mitchell.
Robin.
Was the one. Yes.
Hey, Robin, thanks for asking that question, because that's awesome. That's something I struggled with many years ago. I'll tell you what, I started reading John and I wanted to throw my Bible out the window. I was like, what does this mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if you go down to 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, okay, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when you look at the very first verse and you pick this apart, and please excuse me if I get way too detailed, but I get super excited about this kind of stuff. So when you look at in the beginning was the Word, okay, the Word is Jesus. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, was with God. Okay, and the Word, Jesus, was God. Okay, so that's when you want to go back and you want to look and dive into scripture more. So don't take our word for it, right? I'm a Chuck Missler fan. For all of you guys out there who's a Chuck Missler fan, I'm a big fan right here. Chuck Missler always said, don't take Chuck Missler's word for it. So that's what I'm saying. Don't take Christina and my word for it. Go back and look in scripture. And I'm going to tell you something. If you look in John 1 and you just read, you know, I'll tell you, read the whole book of John. It gives you this beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus. But John 1:1, and actually just John 1, I would read the whole thing. But that really is clear. So anyways, I hope that helped.
Yeah, absolutely. She went on to say that she believes Jesus is the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. Somebody else came over here. Jordan H., where's Josh? My husband is upstairs hanging out with our daughter. This is another show that's going on, the Daily Renegade. It's myself and my friend Sandy, and it's going to be all about women glorifying God in every way in our lives. And it's going to be awesome. So I'll give a couple more minutes here and see if there's anything else. If there's any other comments or questions before we close out, but I think so far this has been a really good first show. Again, a good reboot, I should say, because we tried this last year, but there's so much craziness going on.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I mean, we recorded before. Oh, you know, something else we can share is that, so I'm doing different kind of short videos that I just kind of started doing. I'm going to do them in the wilderness early in the morning.
Oh, and they're beautiful. I love it.
Nature. I mean, that's just me, right? I mean, I'm out hiking or doing something. I've even been sharing with Christina, I go out kayaking. And this past week, there was a mama elk with a baby elk out on the water. And there's just things like that where, you know, I'll just maybe share some scripture when the Spirit puts it on my heart and do a little video. And then it's something that Christina and I are going to add, you know, to our show. And then we'll talk about some of that scripture and just kind of break it apart a little bit, and we'll add a little flavor. So,
yeah, that's going to be awesome. We can kind of give out some more information, how they can get a hold of us. What do you think, Sandy?
No, forget it.
No, we don't want to hear from people. Why are we crazy?
Absolutely. So they can, you know, they can find us on our Facebook pages. So I'm under Sandy Gilly Ashley. Christina, you're under Christina Kramer Peck.
Yeah, Christina Kramer Peck. Kramer is my maiden name. I had to start a brand new Facebook page profile because my old one, I don't know what happened. There was so many trolls and just, I had some interesting people come through and I don't remember adding them as friends. So I just, instead of going through the thousands of friends that I had on there from people who followed me from Skywatch and stuff, I'm just like, I'm going to just start over. So it's Christina Kramer Peck. Then you can also reach out to dailyrenegade.com. You can leave comments there. You can email me. My email address is christinapeck86@gmail.com. You can email me there if you have any questions or comments as well. Mm-hmm. And
mine is info@kidsglorifyinggod.com. And you can also like our Facebook page, Women Glorifying God.
We do have a Facebook page, Women Glorifying God. And we can get all your messages there and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think, Overbuilt Automotive. Hi, you're one of my favorites. Cute. Question for Sandy. Have you seen Bigfoot?
Have you been on my Facebook page? Who is that? What's the name?
It's Overbuilt Automotive.
Okay. Overbuilt Automotive. All right. Well, I was going to use your personal name, but all right. You know what? I actually have. So out by where I live,
Great start.
Yes. There's actually a Sasquatch museum. Okay. And so this tells you how nerdy I am. So I'm going for it. Okay, Christina, I'm doing this. So I go to this museum. And it's really awesome because they show all these different sightings and all this kind of stuff. And I am in this museum probably for an hour and a half. So much so that the curator comes in and she's like, I just came back to check on you. I'm in the floor, like looking through and peering through all these different books where they've shown all these sightings. And they've like sat down and written all this stuff and done all sorts of research. And I'm just sitting down and I'm just reading everything. And she walks in, she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm just reading everything, and she started laughing, and she was like, "Okay." So that's about as far as I've come to actually seeing Sasquatch.
Actually seeing it, I was good. You know, I'm going to share a little story. There was this guy who would call at the bookstore, right? At Skywatch. And he would always say that he has a Bigfoot in his yard. What it is he has a literal statue of a Bigfoot in his yard. Every time you call, I'm like, what is this guy talking about? Why does he keep on saying he has a literal statue? I'm like, I get it. Okay, fine. It took me forever to finally get it out of him that he was talking about. He's like, oh yeah, I have a Bigfoot back here. You want to come up and see it? I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Oh my gosh. Fun times. Mm-hmm. You gotta love it.
For sure.
Crazy sense of the humor. Oh boy.
But I love that like this is the stuff that I want to make sure that we're doing. We're laughing and we're having fun, and I want our viewers to be laughing with us and enjoying, you know, enjoying life.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce your screen name. El Sierra. She says she believes in Bigfoot as well as giants. Oh yeah. I believe there's a lot of unexplained things out there, and the Bible talks about giants quite a bit. And I believe that there's quite a bit of the unknown out there. I won't put anything past anything, honestly. But yeah, I personally have never seen it. Doesn't mean I don't think that it's not possible. So, you know, I have an uncle who lives in Northern California who says he might have seen one, something like a Bigfoot at the corner of his eye. He works pulling out of timber and trees and everything down to prevent fires and things like that. He works on clearing the forest and in the mountains up there. And he said that he caught a glimpse of something in his peripheral vision, and he walked over a couple moments later to see maybe it was a herd of wild horses, because that's very common up there. And there was no horses in the valley below, nothing like that. So it's the possibility it was just something. It was something unexplainable.
Right.
And that's what he said. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I did pronounce it right. Awesome. Yay.
But yeah, I completely agree too, Christina. I think that there's a lot of things that we don't know, you know, but absolutely believe in the Nephilim and all that kind of stuff too. So
Gary Wayne has a show on the Daily Renegade, and he talks all about Nephilim, Genesis 6, things like that. The Christian Contrarian, if you're interested, is his show name. And you'll get more of that information at dailyrenegade.com. So it's really exciting. Sandy, I'm having so much fun. I'm just looking over here one more time, seeing if there's anything else.
Hey, should I, you know, when we're ready to end, how about we close this out in prayer?
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. I love that idea.
All right.
All right. Do you want to pray?
Yeah. Let's pray.
All right.
Hey, dear Heavenly Father, wow, thank you for this amazing time and this fellowship that we've all had today. Please just touch everyone that's listening. Please touch everyone's lives. Please bring them joy, peace, mercy, grace, the true love of Jesus, and for all of us to be able to show that kindness and that love and that joy to everyone that we encounter, everyone out there, and that we truly have this serving heart just like Jesus. And please just help us all to be able to make an impact on this world today. And please just, you know, help there to just be this massive and huge revival, just a revival of you, for there to just be eyes to see, ears to hear, and wow, you know, something huge just happens. And, you know, we want to make heaven even more crowded. So thank you for everything that you've done for all of us, in Jesus's precious, holy, and mighty name. Amen.
Awesome. It's been a wonderful show. And I see Jordan H asks if Nathan is doing better. Yes, Jordan. Yes, he's home. We're back in Missouri. And he's in remission. So we're just keeping our eye on his blood and everything like that for the next few years. So we're good. We're good. Everything's awesome. I am really happy with how this first show went, and we will be doing this more often. We'll both be putting more information up on Facebook, and we have people running our website for us. And like I said, it's turned into a legit home business for all of us. So I get to stay home and be mommy and Yay! Take care of my kiddos. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And, I want to thank everybody. Sandy, thank you so much for joining. We almost didn't do this tonight.
I know. And then we were starting to talk and laugh and giggle, and you were like, "You're so funny." I'm like, "Yeah, we need to just get on the air tonight."
And I'm like, "You know what? We probably can do that. Let me look like a human being." And so we did it, and I'm so glad we did. Yeah, this has been awesome, Sandy. Thank you so much. And thank you all of you. We had a pretty good turnout in the chat room tonight. This has been awesome. Thank you all. We hope to see you guys again.
Absolutely. Hey, and send us your prayer requests, and we'll be sure we'll pray for you, you know, on the show. I mean, we want to get to know all of you guys and really just build a community amongst all of us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Yes, thank you, everybody. And until next time, you guys take care and God bless.